Welcome into the Dynasty Big Board, part of the Rookie Big Board Podcast Network. I'm your host, Anthony Carenti, joined by my co-hosts, Ryan Searfoss and Eric Adams. Boys, the draft draws closer. How are we feeling?
Good. I feel like the closer we get, the more confused I feel. But I feel good regardless.
Little over 2 weeks. Ryan, I agree with that. This is the most confused I've felt going into a draft.
The more information we gain, the less we know.
Which is great. I love chaos. Especially
definitely a chaos year.
I enjoy the chaos. It makes it fun.
I don't think there will be a lot of chalk. Like I think things will get weird this year.
If you're one of the lucky few who's in a state where you can gamble on the combine, don't do it. Move to Pennsylvania and hate yourself.
In our fine Keystone State, we cannot We got to cross the border to place draft props here. All right. That's just life.
I can't cross to a normal border for it.
Oh, yeah. Once true. I think I could do it in Jersey.
Yeah. The places I go are even worse that are close.
You got the wrong border. You're on the wrong side.
I'm at the wrong border.
Well, draft prop craziness aside, on today's show, we will be discussing some of the rookie players from this year's draft class that we're going to, plant some flags on, guys we think will be great, guys we think won't be so great, and talk a little Tyreek Hill to kick things off. But before we get into that, first, we got to remind you about the ridiculous value that comes with being a Rookie Big Board patron. Like we said, the draft is almost here. You can get a ton of insight into the upcoming draft class, and beyond that as well in terms of Devy rankings. But if you want to get prepped for this year's rookie draft season that is right around the corner after the NFL draft, you need the incredibly valuable resources offered by the Rookie Big Board team. $30 a year, you can get signed up for the year. That's 15% off. Patreon.com/rookiebigboard. You certainly will not regret it. All right, before we get into planting flags on rookie players like we were originally going to. We were just talking Tyreek Hill before the pod. We were doing the pod before the pod. And we decided to save it for the show. So Tyreek Hill says he's going to retire after this current contract. Eric, why don't you take us away with how you react to that news and how you would approach Tyreek Hill from this point in a dynasty league?
Well, there's going to be two sets of people, the people who believe him and the people who don't. I believe him. I really do believe him. He's got the money. He's got the ring. There's really no reason to continue on. He says he wants to do other things. He's already got, obviously he does the sprinting at an Olympic level. If I own him in Dynasty right now, I would be trying to offload him. Because I think, the closer we get to the end of that contract, the less valuable he'll be. I think you could probably trade him right now for Jalen Waddle, and I'd probably do it straight up.
I've done that before, you have to attach a pick,
but I would do that. I would do that in a heartbeat. Add a first round pick in Tyreek Hill for Jalen Waddle, I would do it. But just throwing a hypothetical out there, I would be looking to move on from him. Because, like I said, I do believe him. It's a little scary.
Foss, what do you think?
I think if you're a contender, he's an absolute buy. Like, I don't play fantasy football in bigger than really 3-year windows for my team management. And that's what that is. Yes, he said he's going to retire, but that's 3 more full seasons. After those 3 seasons, he'd be 33 years old, which I don't want a 33-year-old speed wide receiver on my team anyways. So like, I feel like this doesn't affect how I viewed him to start for that simple reason, other than he put like a floor on it and he might go a little bit harder that last year, but I think it's a good one now mode. And I think you can, if a team's not that great, I think you can take some low ball offers on them.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I don't think it changed a whole lot with how I view him. I think he's more a buy than a sell for me. But because I think if I sell, I don't know if I'll get what I really want or what I would. If I could sell him for a haul, during the earlier in the offseason, I was good with it. But now I think you're just going to get too many of the I'm here to buy cheap. I'd be trying to buy him cheap for a late first anywhere I can.
Exactly. I'm trying to buy him cheap.
Team that I think they can do. if I can't contend this year, that is, I guess I'm probably still okay selling for one first, but I think more often than not, I would rather be on the buying side.
You're not going to feel great.
While we were doing that, though, I pulled up a lovely trade finder at DLF. This is like my favorite.
This is what I was waiting for. Yeah, I want to hear some of these.
Shout out DLF for the trade finder. It is one of my favorite things. It's Tyreek Hill or the 105?
Hill.
I was gonna say your face said that with little conviction.
Yeah, if you're watching, which you can't, you'd see zero confidence on my face.
If it's a super flex league, I would.
This is super flex. Yeah, this one was super flex.
Yeah, and if I need probably take back, I would probably take the back.
If I think I have pick five, just because I had a bad run of injuries, and I think I can still win, probably not. But, man, I don't like it.
This one is non-superflex, one quarterback.
Okay.
Tyreek Hill and David Montgomery, or Damian Pierce, George Pickens, and the 206.
Probably the Pickens in.
Yeah, I would take Pickens that because of how I feel about Pickens.
I think I'd take the other side.
In Pierce.
You'd still take it. You, the Pickens lover?
I know. The Pickens thing sways it a little bit, but it's Tyreek Hill, man. Like
it's because you guys don't believe in Damian Pierce, and I'm hurt.
I said I took the Damian Pierce side, and I also
bad greens.
Yeah. I would never talk bad about his mother's greens.
You're confusing
me with one Matt Hicks who hates.
that is
who hates Damian Pierce. It is not me. I like Damian Pierce.
There we go. 7 minutes in before Matt caught his first stray on this podcast. That might be a new record. All right, well, let's find one more Tyreek Hill trade. I don't know, maybe two more. Tyreek Hill, this is also super flex. Tyreek Hill, Mike Williams, and
big boy trades.
Sam Howell.
Oh,
you used the term
super flex far too quick. And tight end premium. Okay, super flex tight end premium. Sam Howell, Tyreek Hill, Mike Williams, or Kyle Pitts in the 110.
I'm not doing that one.
Hell, Mike Williams. I think this brings up a whole different Kyle Pitts trade discussion.
I would like to have at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is interesting. I wouldn't panic on Pitts. I still wouldn't do that deal, but I wouldn't panic on Pitts.
All right. Last one. This is a big boy trade. Shout out whoever made this trade. This is Tyreek Hill and J.K. Dobbins for Christian McCaffrey in a 2023 second.
Hill and Dobbins.
I'll take Hill and Dobbins. Yeah, I can't trust it on a running back as good as McCaffrey is.
I'll take Hill and Dobbins too.
As good as McCaffrey is going to be this year. Oh my goodness.
That's a fun trade.
Yeah.
That is a fun trade. All right. Well, there you go. Some quick Tyreek Hill thoughts. Let's talk this rookie class. We want to start positive or we want to end positive? Start with the poo-poo or start with the good?
We'll end positive.
End positive. You always spray the poo-pourri afterwards. So
yes,
you want to make it smell better.
Let's bury a couple players. Plant some flags on guys we think are going to be your bad. Foss, who's your first guy that you absolutely hate?
God, absolutely hate Darnell Washington for fantasy football.
Oh my God! I feel betrayed. Honestly, I didn't even see it coming. Like I feel
the
like
of the show.
I feel like I just watched The Red Wedding for the first time.
Yeah. What in the world? I do feel betrayed. Oh my goodness!
This is a tight end podcast.
We're a pro tight end podcast. That's what we do. All right.
Wow. I love the player. I know. But the track record is the track record, man. He's a blocking tight end who's phenomenal at it. But we're looking at his production. He was not the receiving tight end in college while he's surrounded by a super talented pass. He's still not there. And we only have 45 career receptions in 3 years. As such a big body tight end, we're like, oh, he's going to make up for this in the red zone. Georgia did not use him in the red zone. He only had 2 touchdowns on the air. I just, with how good he is as a blocker, I feel like originally I used to say, is going to keep him on the field. Yes, it will. But it's also going to keep him staying in for the quarterback. I know he's an athletic freak and all, but it's just, we would have seen more glimpses than we did. Like, he's the only one out of this tight end group where you're going to watch highlights of him blocking and enjoy it more than his plays down the field. It's just, he's so good at one thing that it's going to hurt the rest. And I think drafting him where he's going to go in the second round is just a freaking mistake.
I don't agree. I'm willing to bet on the athleticism. Don't care what happened at Georgia. Didn't use him correctly. Gonna go with that. Brock Bowers stayed ahead of him. Yada yada. Wide receiver, you yada whatever. You're right. You're right. Darnell is gonna be a much better NFL player than he is a fantasy football player. I don't know what his projection will be.
Unbelievers.
Look, man, I do when we're talking about ceilings and floors, like, I don't really know where the floor is, but I know he'll be on the field, and I know with that type of athleticism and what he did show with the ball in his hands, he's pretty damn impressive. I just think a little more usage could go a long way, but you are technically correct, and I don't like you for saying
and,
it. So
and I'm having – it was rude. I'm also having a really bad flashback. So let me take you back.
Huh? I don't
want to
hear this.
Let me take you guys back to the 2017 draft, and we had a tight end who ran a 4.5 140, was super athletic, 6'6", 251, incredible blocker, and got put on a pass happy offense where they're averaging 40 to 50 pass attempts a game, and he became super forgotten because he was on the field. He just stayed in and blocked all the time. So he was so much better at that than his production, which he didn't really have. And that man was OJ Howard. And I'm having these flashbacks because these athletic profiles were so much better at one thing, where it kept them doing that thing and just broke all of our little hearts.
I drafted so much OJ Howard that year.
I would even argue OJ Howard probably had better receiving chops coming into the league too. That's a scary thing.
Yeah. But this was upsetting. This is not this where I upsetting. Saw this going.
Again, though,
but we
it's okay. Him not getting used like that at Georgia. I think, you know, you throw a few more balls his way, I think it'll go a little better.
I don't know. Like, I agree, but it's hard to not give Brock Bowers those targets,
right? And no, then you have Jackson Smith and Jigba. And then you have, you know, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave last year. You got Marvin Harrison on the team. It's kind of hard to, like, justify, hey, let's throw to him. Like, maybe not. I don't know.
You switched to Ohio State.
Oh, I did switch to Ohio State. Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm out of it. Red team's killing me. Never mind.
That red team guy.
Georgia didn't use him correctly. It's what I'm landing on. Screw it. I believe.
Where do you guys have him ranked in terms of rookie tight ends, though? Still top two?
No. He's three for me. Kincaid.
Behind Kincaid.
Yeah, he's a
Kincaid guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, that's fair. Yeah. All right, Eric, who's your guy you're going to poo-poo? I hope you don't cut me as deep as Ryan did.
My guy is Quentin Johnston, but I'm not going to be as negative here. Like, I understand we have to be negative, and we have to plant our flag on being.
You don't have to be negative. It's a lot of it is just at their value.
Yeah, and that's kind of a problem. Look, I'm having war flashbacks with Quentin Johnston. We brought it up before the pod. I'm going to bring it up here. He is a little too similar to N'Keal Harry. There's a lot of manufactured touches at TCU. When he went up against bad competition, he dominated. When he went up against good competition, didn't show up enough for me. The body catches we've talked about, that's scary. I'm not saying I'm completely out on Quentin Johnston. I think there's definitely, you know, I think there's definitely places he can go where an offense coordinator can utilize him correctly. But I want you to think about what I just said. The best wide receivers don't need that. The best wide receivers, you're dropping him in an offense and you're going, that guy's going to do just fine. That's not how I feel about Quentin Johnston. I think Quentin Johnston needs to land in a place where he's not the number one wide receiver, where he can settle in. Basically the anti-Treylon Burks from last year. He needs to land in that spot. And there's just a lot working against him for me. And when people are giving him, you know, oh, yeah, he's probably going to go round one, I don't feel good about that. I don't feel good about him going round one. He definitely shouldn't go ahead of JSN, Addison, or Flowers. He should not go ahead of those three guys. The rest you can have a conversation about, but those three, definitely not. I wasn't too negative, right? I hate being that.
No,
negative.
No.
I don't hate him. I just,
it's not, not. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You loathe him. It's fine, dude.
It sounds personal, mostly.
It sounds personal.
I would never say that Mama Johnson can't cook some greens. So that's not where I'm going with that. She's a hell of a chef. So, but her son on the field, it's a little scary. A little scary.
Dude, it's just the inconsistency for me.
Yeah.
Like, we go, like, listen to just these numbers. He went 22, 22, 29, 41, 206, 180 for his yards. Then 74, 76, goose egg, 66, 48, 139, 163, 3 in the natty. Like, it was just, he was either huge amounts or nothing at all. And he only had two games with 8 or more catches. And he only had one game with double digit. Like, it's inconsistency in big plays.
Yeah.
Like, he needs the perfect offense.
I don't think he's ever going to be that guy. I think he could be a good NFL player, but I don't think he'll ever be this guy that commands like a massive target share.
Yeah.
And I know he didn't come in as tall as we expected. The fact he only had 6 touchdowns kind of bugs me a little bit for being a big body receiver.
For a guy who can, you know, his vertical is 40 and a half. For a guy who can jump like that, that, you know, that doesn't show up on tape. He doesn't.
You know what I think? People. You know what I think, like, combines with that? Because I agree. I don't think, like, he, on paper or whatever, when you're reading about him, you want to be like, oh, this is a big, you know, X jump ball kind of guy. Like, I agree. It doesn't show up on tape. And he's not a natural hands catcher. Like, no. And he does not look comfortable in those situations. He relies way too much on catching with his body. And like, those, I think he could be DJ Chark, you know? I think that's where I'm at with Quentin Johnson.
That was the receiver right there.
Huh?
That was the receiver right there.
Yeah. I think that's in the realm of possibility, but I just think it could be like a weird career. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if he'll ever find consistent usage that we kind of equate with high level fantasy relevance.
Mm-hmm. Just feels like the love is a little too much for him.
Yeah.
I'd be a lot happier if people were like, oh yeah, he's a solid day two pick. I'd feel a lot better.
Wait till he goes day two and then he becomes the value of fantasy football.
Yeah. Then I'll feel good. Yeah. Then I'll be like, all right, that's where I wanted him. That's solid.
Yeah. If it swings that way, I'll be back in.
It could easily swing that way.
All right. My guy, I don't know if anybody's really in on this guy, so I don't think I'll hurt you guys too bad. I shouldn't say nobody's in on this guy.
I'm ready to be hurt.
People are in, but I don't know if any of us are in on him. Devon Achane from Texas A&M.
Oh, I'm not hurt.
Not hurt at all.
It's a strictly size thing for me, honestly, because I feel like leading up to the combine, the ceiling comp, and like what people who really buy into him tell you is he could be Chris Johnson. Right, like he's not.
He was mine, by the way, too.
Chris Johnson was taller, heavier, faster. Like, Chris Johnson was just a bigger, albeit not like a massively bigger player, but a bigger, faster player than Achane is. And I went and pulled up since the year 2000. Okay, he measured in 5'8" and a half and weighed 188 pounds at the combine. Since 2000, only one player who weighed less than 190 pounds has a 1,000-yard rushing season. Any guesses who it is?
Since 2000, what?
Since 2000, there's only one player with who weighed less than 190 pounds that has 1,000 yards on the ground, 1,000 yards as a rusher.
Is it Darren Sproles?
It is not Darren Sproles.
What team did he play for? Does that give it away?
It probably gives it away.
Probably gives it away.
I will tell you, it was more than once, and it's in the early 2000s. Like, it's a ways back.
Brian Westbrook?
Nope.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Warwick Dunn. Four times.
Warwick Dunn. As a play for the Falcons, right?
Did you play for the Falcons? Yeah.
God damn it. That was who I was saying.
As a Florida State fan, I'm embarrassed.
Yeah.
Warwick Dunn four times. 2000, 2004, 2005, 2006. That's the only time in the last 22 years, 23 years that somebody that late under 190 has had 1,000 yards on a season. So it's like, it just becomes like a, could it happen? Yeah. Is it likely to happen? I really don't think so. And another guy that I think he's an NFL player, like he'll be on a field. He will make some plays for a team. I don't think it will ever equate to high level fantasy production. And I think a lot of times he's drafted in like rookie drafts so far, or where he's been ranked a lot. I see him ranked like a top five guy a lot. And that's too rich for me in this running back class.
I keep thinking about Dre Archer when the Steelers took him.
Yeah. Honestly,
this is like tiny little,
like fun, but a lot needs to go right.
Yeah.
Like
you're a kick returner. You're not even a punt returner, 'cause you'll die. You're just a kick returner at this point.
Yeah, so it's strictly playing the size odds for me. I'll never be in at cost or what other people are willing to pay.
When we like first started up draft coverage in January, like I remember people were like, "Yeah, it's going to be Bijan, then Gibbs," and then some people were throwing him in at three, and I'm like, "Oh, let me watch this guy." When I watch him, like, that's not number three. That cannot be number three.
Mm-mm.
That's my problem with him. I think again, I think the hype is too high.
Yeah.
I have him. I have. RB16 round 5. That is where I have Devon Achane. I feel like a lot of people are going to be like, "You're insane, bro." I'm like, "No, I'm not. That's what he is." That's
Eric hates him more than me.
I do probably hate him more than you.
It's tough to see the. It's tough to see.
I'm like 13 or 14th, so I'm not a fan.
Yeah, that's I'm close. I don't have it in front of me, but I want to say he was like 11 or 12 for me. All right.
Can I start as the positive, because that plays right into what I want to say here.
Yeah, please.
I understand you said the under, what was under 190?
Yeah.
Under 190 pounds. I get that, and I don't doubt that 100%. But if we're going to be positive, we're going to bang the table for one guy or plant the flag. If Deuce Vaughn, who's better than Devon Achane, had 2 inches and 13 more pounds, he would be the same size as Devon Achane, and he has way better stats. Mm-hmm. Against Alabama, he ran 22 times for 133 yards and a touchdown. Devon Achane against Alabama ran for 16 times 62 yards, 3.9 yards per carry. Probably a better O-line over there in Texas A&M. I don't know. I like Deuce Vaughn a lot, man. I think Deuce Vaughn's a very easy player to root for. I think he's going to be a very good third down back right away in the NFL. He's a guy I have. He's also a guy who I have a round 5 grade on, but I really want him to go in round 4. And I really hope he goes in round 4. But he's just I get the size concerns. I understand it. But sometimes you just got to throw a little caution to the wind, cuz he is a really good football player. He's a walking play. He's a walking bucket. That's what he is. That's how I view it.
And super easy guy to root for.
Absolutely. I don't think there's a single person who's going to be like, "Oh, I don't like that Deuce Vaughn."
No, you love Deuce Vaughn. I think Deuce Vaughn, like, size concerns, like we just mentioned about Achane aside, like, Deuce Vaughn's a better running back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, Deuce Vaughn understands the nuance of the position at a higher caliber than Achane does.
Yes.
I think you just missed such a big opportunity to, like, on talking negative though, to say I'm about to take a deuce on Deuce Vaughn. You just missed out by bringing the positivity.
Well, I would never take a deuce on Deuce. Can't do it. Can't put a deuce on deuce.
Can't do it.
Taking a deuce on defense.
Yes. There you go. There you go. All right. If he's a good fantasy football player, deuce on your defense has to be your deuce.
Yeah. Oh, I might draft him just for that.
No just for other. That. The name potential is there, 100%. But he's a good player. Team. He's a good player. I look forward to seeing where he lands.
New England. No.
I was waiting for it.
That's where I want. Round four. Yummy.
Yummy.
Ryan, you want to go or you want me to go?
I'll go. Okay, I'm going with a guy who's just starting to get a little bit of noise, and that's UAB running back Dwayne McBride. He runs hard. He bounces off defenders. He runs through all arm tackles. He can push a pile. He has good enough speed to get chunk plays. He's done nothing but produce. We had a 1,300-yard season followed by 1,700-yard season. He's getting top 30 visits from a dozen-plus teams, which tells me he's going to get drafted a lot higher than we think he is. And at 5'10", 209, he has the ideal size. You're looking for a back. There's a lot to like here.
Where do you think? Round three or four?
I'm thinking round three.
If he pulls round three, I think there's a lot of room to get excited.
If he goes round three, that changes things a little.
And he has some receiving chops.
Yeah.
If he goes round three, it'll be like the bump that Brian Robinson got last year when he snuck into day two. And it was like, oh, okay, Brian Robinson's going to get some run here.
He has 32 rushing touchdowns in the last 2 years. Whew. He has a nose for the end zone. His yards per carry were 6.7 followed by 7.4. I know it's Conference USA, but that's huge. Dude produces.
Pierre Strong. Where did Pierre Strong play?
South Dakota State.
That also Conference USA? Where does that?
That's small. That's D2. That's where Carson Wentz went.
All right.
No, Carson Wentz in North Dakota State, right?
Yeah, wrong Dakota.
Wrong Dakota. Show the proper Dakota some respect.
If Pierre Strong can pull round four, I could see him pulling round three. That could work.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. I like Dwayne McBride. Tough. I'm okay. The NFL will like him. For the same reason.
They love tough running backs.
Yeah.
I mean,
while everybody else is getting excited about all the speed, the NFL still covets the big tough guys at the running back position.
Dude, the running back position hasn't changed as much as we want to say it does.
I agree.
That's one of the biggest things I've come to learn in my, 6 years of doing fantasy now? Y'all love your little speedy backs. Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. I like my big meaty men getting up in there, slapping meat. That's how it is. It ain't gonna change. So Roshan Johnson, come on down.
Yep. Come on.
I'm all in on Roshan still, by the way.
Come on down, Roshan.
Roshan's the man.
All right, we got anything else about McBride? Otherwise I'll give you my last.
What does UAB stand for? University of
Alabama, Birmingham.
Alabama, Birmingham. Yeah. Nice. Nice job.
Yeah, nice pull, Foss.
I don't even know if that's true.
That was off and down.
Yeah, it was confident enough that even if it ain't, that's what it is now. All right.
That's what it is.
My last guy that I...
confirmed. That is what it stands
confirmed.
For.
Sources confirm.
Sometimes I'm right.
Not they have a fire sometimes. Logo, too. Wow.
Dude.
That is a good logo.
Yeah.
It's a great logo. UAB fans here on the pod.
Shout out UAB. All our listeners from UAB. My last guy is Marvin Mims. I'm not leaving rookie drafts without Marvin Mims. Marvin Mims is the deep threat that we want Quentin Johnston to be, despite being the smaller player. He really is. He averaged more yards per catch, just over. Quentin Johnston averaged 19 yards per catch in his college career. We got Marvin Mims at 19.5 yards per catch. He broke out as a freshman. He's been productive through college, over 1,000 yards this last season. But I feel like leading up to the combine, there was like a, well, Marvin Mims is small, or Marvin Mims is you know, not big, or he's not that fast.
Or Marvin Mims is D.D. Westbrook. Like,
I don't want to hear
it. It's because he came in 10 pounds or 15 pounds more than listed. What school
I
does
still
that?
Don't want to hear that, Ryan.
No.
It doesn't. It went away.
But you know what I think is interesting? And this is, I'm not comping the players. We're not comping the players here. But from a size perspective, he measured in at the combine, 5'11", 183, ran 4.38. I mean, Garrett Wilson was 6 foot, 183, ran 4.38.
You heard it here, Marvin Mims, Garrett Wilson, same player, route running.
I don't think he's Garrett Wilson, but from a size and athleticism kind of
route
profile,
running doesn't matter.
Garrett Wilson, the far superior route runner. Mims can work there, has work to do there, but man, he's good. He's good getting deep. He's good in the intermediate level of the field. He's got good hands. Like, can he be a better route runner? Yeah, but I think you can get him on the field early, and I think he could play inside, outside, and do a lot for you. He's a good wide receiver that's gotten buried in a class, I feel like, by players that shouldn't get talked about higher than him. I would rather have him over Quentin Johnston, both in fantasy and in real-life team-building terms. He's a top-five wide receiver in this class for me.
Can we find his drop rate? Because I feel like I'm going to just echo what I said earlier on a couple weeks ago with him. Every time they threw the ball to him, he came down with it. Every single time. I just feel like he didn't miss. I was like, this kid, like, when you do it as much as him and Charlie Jones, when they do it as much as those two do it, I'm like, that's pretty impressive.
Oh.
In 2020, his catch rate was 72.6%, 78% in 2021. Down in 2022,
59.3. I got the actual drop rate, 7.9%.
Is that high or low?
Compared to some other receivers, we'll go through. Kayshon Booty, this is on the list. I'm just reading the list. 13.6. He's the highest.
Yeah.
Quentin Johnson, 8.5. Okay. Marvin Mims, 7.9. Rashee Rice, 7.8. Jalen Hyatt, who averages 18.9 a catch, is only 6.7. Njigma, 4.8. Zay, 4.4. Addison, 3.1. Josh Downs, 2%. Josh Downs catches everything. Don't forget it. Add him in the positives.
Don't forget it. Shout out Josh Downs.
But yeah, I'm with you, Ant. I'm a bit. You said 5. I got him at 7. I love Marvin Mims. I'm a big fan of Marvin.
I'm 7 as well.
He's good at football. I would take a chance on him.
Good football player. Just draft the good players. That's it.
That's all it takes.
Just take the good players.
Football doesn't need to be hard. Just draft good players.
That's it. Do your job.
Never mess.
Draft good players.
Anybody else we want to last minute shout out the way we did Josh Downs before we wrap this one up?
No, Josh Downs is all the... all flowers.
I don't know if we're, since we only have two more shows until the draft, I don't know if we're going to be able to do this for like a whole pod. Do you guys have any like really late sleepers that you would like you think like, yeah, this guy's definitely going day 3. I hope he can break out. Cause I have one guy that's stuck with me this entire time and he doesn't have great stats or anything.
I think I'm going to draft a lot like later in rookie drafts. And I think he'll get day 3 capital. Hoping earlier on day 3 is I think I'm going to draft a lot of Bryce Ford Wheaton.
That's a good one. That's
I think I'm going to draft a lot of Bryce Ford Wheaton.
My guy is still Malik Knowles from Kansas State.
Malik Knowles is a good one too. I like him.
He's going to come in and be an immediate good kick returner, possibly one of the best in the league. And I really think he's a solid wide receiver. I know he didn't get a lot of burn, but I think there's something there with him. That's one guy I'm going to throw out there. And he's definitely going day 3. I'd be surprised if he goes day 2. Ryan, you got anyone?
I feel like I don't know where people view Kendre Miller because I feel like you don't hear much about him. But he's my dude who I've gotten in all of our mocks round 3 every single time. Don't leave drafts without him.
I got him RB11, and he's in my round 4 range. But I would not be stunned at all if he goes round 3. I would not be stunned if he goes day 2.
He's my RB7. I love him.
That's fair.
That's fair. Running back is weird. I know we've said this, but after the top 3, it's like won't be shocked if no matter what order they get drafted in after Bijan, Gibbs, and Charbonnet, nothing will surprise me after that.
I will say this. the way we're trending right now, after those three guys, the next one off the board, I would not be shocked if it's Roschon Johnson. I almost expect it to be Roschon Johnson.
Definitely could happen.
Oh, I hope so, man.
That would be great.
Take a bet on that. But solid class.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a fun one. All right, well, that's going to do it. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dynasty Big Board, part of the Rookie Big Board Podcast Network. We'll be back with more of the Dynasty Big Board next week, but be sure to tune in to hear from our friends on the Devy Big Board. We'll talk to you guys later.
Later, taters.